Today, Shir in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Tez Zayin. We're beginning about five lines from the top on Tez Zayin Omud Aleph. We had brought down a stira yesterday between a Mishnah in Midos and a Mishnah in Tamid, and we did not reconcile them. We left it with their stira one to the other. In tomorrow's Shir, we'll try to reconcile it, but today, we have a total aside before we get back to that. And that the Gemara said at the very end of yesterday's shir, Am Rav Huna, this is five lines from the top, we'll pick up and we'll reread the last line that we learned yesterday. Rav Huna says, who is the author? Man Tama Midos. Who is the author of the Mishnah in Midos that we learned? And the Gemara tells us, Rav Huna says, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov he, that the author of the Mishnah in Midos is Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Now, that is to explain that the author of the Tana of Midos is different than the author, the Tana of Tomid. Now, that would be the simple answer why we had two different opinions as to where the Lishkos were in the Beis Hamoket from yesterday's shir. But now we go off into a digression to prove that Rav Huna's statement, that Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is in fact the author of Midos, is true. And we'll spend the rest of the shir today trying to prove this from the discussion about certain statements that are made in the Mishnah in Midos. So that's not. So we start off by quoting to prove that Rav Huna is right, that Rav Eliezer ben Yaakov is the author of the Mishnah Midos, by quoting a Mishnah Midos where it says his name in it, but it doesn't say it at the very beginning. And it tells us, Ezras Noshim Haisa. We know that the Beis HaMikdash, we'll learn a lot about this today, so we'll start going, if you're looking from Har HaZeisim towards the Har HaBayis, so you're going from looking at the Har HaZeisim, which is east, and you're going west towards the Har HaBayis, you're going to go through the area entranceway from the eastern side all the way to the Kodesh Kedoshim towards the western side of the Har HaBayis. So as you go in to the Har HaBayis, you're going to go through various areas, which we'll discuss more later in the Shia, but eventually you're going to hit the Ezras Noshim. You're going to have an area called the Soreg after you get through the eastern gate. Then you're going to have an area called the Chel, and then you're going to enter into the Har HaBayis. And the Har HaBayis is a hill, and you're going to go upwards. So you're starting off at the base of the mountain of the Har HaBayis, and you're going to constantly go upwards. That will be the middle part of today's Shia. So right now, we're dealing with a person who's walking into the Har HaBayis. He's going from east to west, and he enters from the area known as the Chel into the area known as the Ezras Noshim. There's some steps up going from the Chel area to the Ezras Noshim, which we'll talk about later on, and he enters into the Ezras Noshim. The Ezras Noshim was a square. The Ezras Noshim has an orech, a length of Meya Ushloshim Chamesh, 135 Amma, Al Rochav Meya Ushloshim Chamesh Amma, by 135. Rashi reminds us, or tells us over here, that when we're looking at the dimensions of the Beis HaMikdash, which way is the length and which way is the width, so he points out, in the Rashi on Dibra Maschal Hoyis Orech, the last of the wide lines, that he says, the Orech is called Min HaMizrach L'Marv. What we call the length is going from the eastern towards the western. That's the area that we call the length. And the Rochav, the area that we call the width, is the area that we call Min HaTzofen L'Dorim. That's the north to south orientation. In any event, there's a perfect square, so it doesn't make any difference. So it's 135 Amma by 135 Amma. And there were four lishkos in the corner of the Ezras Noshim. The Ezras Noshim was the area where, of course, we had the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. The women would go up onto these balconies and watch all the activities of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva down at the bottom. That's why it was known as the Ezras Noshim. But this was an area that both men and women could go into. They separated them on Simchas Beis HaShoeva. There shouldn't be the mixing of the genders. And it's known as the Ezras Noshim because women were allowed to go over there. Now, there were four chambers. Arba lishkos, hayu be'arba mikzo'o seha. There were four chambers in each corner of the Ezras Noshim. Doesn't give us the dimensions of those chambers, but most of them seem to be that there were squares in each of the four corners of the Ezras Noshim. What was the purpose of these chambers? So, Duromis Mizrochis, the one that was in the southeastern corner, as you're going to go into the Ezras Noshim, this will be the first one that you hit. If you're going from east to west, this will be the first one that you hit on your left. So, the southeastern Lishka, here I saw Lishka Sanazirim. This was the Lishka that the Nazirs used to go to. Now, the Nazir had to do certain activities in the Beis HaMikdash, including the cooking of the Korban Shlomim. Korban Shlomim could be eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim, so it's not a problem of taking it outside the Azara once the Shechita was done in the Azara. The Shechita of Shlomim could be done anywhere in the Azara. It was usually done on the southern side because the Kodesh Kodashim had to be done on the northern side. So there was not enough room on the northern side, so they would move the things that didn't have to be done on the northern side to the southern side. So the Nazir's Korban was brought, and then Sham Nazirim Mivashlim Es Shamayim, after they brought the shlomim that the Nazir had to bring, the Shami Nazir, so they would go and cook it in this Azara that was the southeastern Lishka of the Ezras Nashim. They would leave the Azara, the Ezras Anashim, they would take the carbon with them after it was shechted, again, not a problem. It's a Kotchi Kalim, it could be eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim, so the Ezras Nashim certainly is a fine place for it. And there, Umagalchin Sarin, they would go and have their Taglachas, their body hair cutting, umishalchin tachas hadur, and they would take the hair and they would use it as part of the firewood that was underneath the pot that they were cooking the shalmizah nazir. This was the mitzvah for the nazir to do this, as Rashi brings down the pasuk from Bamidbar, the nosan aleish asher tachas zevach hashlomim. So this was what they did with the hair that they cut in their taglachas. Now, mizrachis tzofonis. Then, as you go to the northern side, again, you're still on the eastern aspect, so you're now, if you were to enter on the east into the Ezras Nashim, going towards the end of the Ezras Nashim on the west, so then you would see on the chamber to your right, which was the northeastern chamber, he saw lishkas. Now the girsa that we have is dir ha'etzim, but the box says delete the word dir. This was just called the lishkas ha'etzim. What went on in this lishka? Shisham kohanim bali munim omdin umasliin ba'etzim. In this lishka, the Kohanim that were not kosher to do the Avodah, they had a blemish, they had a certain type of mum, and they weren't kosher to do the Avodah, but they were still kosher lineage Kohanim, so they gave them work to do that didn't require a kosher, non-blemished Kohen to do, but they would assign them to go and deworm the wood. Now, this was a mitzvah that you weren't allowed to go and use wormy wood on the Mizbeach. It's pasnish to go and use this type of wood, and therefore, this Mishnah in Talmud tells us that you couldn't use wormy wood on the Mizbeach because it's inappropriate to do so. And therefore, the Kohanim, who weren't able to do the Avodah, they spent their time checking the wood to make sure that it didn't have any worms inside of it. In fact, this is one of the reasons why Tu B'Av was such a great Simcha, because the Kohanim who were doing this no longer had to do this after Tu B'Av, because at that point in time, the sun was decreasing in the sky. In other words, the days were getting shorter, and the sun wasn't powerful enough to, so to say, deworm the wood at this point in time. So they stopped doing this because they had enough wood. They gathered enough wood to make sure that they would have wood for the Beis HaMikdash until this time, and now the Kohanim were free to go and learn. So this was one of the great simchas of Tu B'Av, in that they now had more time to learn Torah. In any event, Gemara continues, as you go further from east to west, you're entering into the Ezras Nashim, you're going to find on the northwest side, Tzofonis Ma'arabis. We're going, again, counterclockwise in these chambers, so you start off on the leftmost one, then you go to the one to your right, then you walk further west, and you'll encounter the one on your right. So Tzofonis Ma'arabis, the northwestmost lishka of the Ezras Nashim, this was the lishka that the Mitzorayim would enter into. Rashi explains in Dibra Mas Lishka Hamitzorayim that Meforish Bepirkin Lakam, we're going to learn later in the parak, Shisham Hamitzorayim Tovlim Bashmini L'Taharoson. The Mitzorah would go to the mikvah at the end of the seventh day, but then he would have Harav Shemesh and would be mutter to go and eat certain things, but he still needed to have all of his korbanos brought in order not to be a Mechusar Kippurim. He still had to go and have the process to be mitarim done on the eighth day. So therefore, he would come on the eighth day, kishuboim lekohanim, they would go and extend their hands and their feet out to the kohen that needed to have the appropriate applications of blood and oil on their right big toe, on their right thumb, and on their right ear, tnuch ozen yamonis, boan yamonis, raglo yamonis. So this is the process that the Mitzorah had to undergo. So he'd go from this lishka, which was right west, it was all the way right near the entranceway into the Ezras Anoshim, into the Azora. They had to be tovel again, Rashi says. They were tovelin on this eighth day, before they had the applications of the blood that were done to Tnuch Ozen, Yodo, Haimonis, Boen Yodo, Yamonis, Raglu Yodo, Haimonis, again to the right ear, to the cartilage of the right ear, to the right thumb, and to the right big toe. And this was the Tahara process, and this was done in the Lishkas Mitzoroyim, where they had a mikveh as well. And finally, the last chamber, which you keep on going in a counterclockwise direction, would be the southwest chamber, Marov is Deromis, and here's where we bring the raya that this author of the Mishnayis in Midos is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, because suddenly in the middle of this Mishnah, Omer Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov tells us, Shochachti me'hoiso mishameshes, I do not remember what this last chamber, this southwest chamber, served, what its function was. Now, Rashi points out, Michlal, from the fact, Dereisha, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Kamala. If it wasn't for the fact that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov was the author of the other ones, why would we institute over here and state that he doesn't know what this chamber is? Who would really care that he doesn't know what this chamber is if it's not anything to do with the previous discussion of the three other chambers? So obviously, Rashi points out, the Gemara is telling us that from the fact that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, this chamber, I don't know what its function was, it means he was the author of this Mishnah until now, telling us what the function of the other chambers were. And therefore, Abba Shaul says, I know what it is. But in this fourth chamber, this southwest chamber, Hayinosten Yayin Vishem, this is where they stored the wine and the oil. And Hiyosonikwis Lishkas Beis Shamnaya. And as a result, they called it the Lishka, the chamber where they would store the oils. They also stored the wine there, but it was known as Lishkas Beis Shamnaya. So we see from here, this was the proof that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is the author of the Mishnayis in Midos. Fine, perfect, good. Proof number one. Gemara wants to go and give us another proof. So Gemara says, Hochanami Mistabra, that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is the author of the Mishnayis in Midos. He, that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is the one, in fact, that stated these Mishnayis in Midos. And therefore, if there's an argument with Talmid, no problem. It's a different Tana. Where do we see that he's the author of the Mishnayis in Midos? It's not, because we have another Mishnah in Midos, which tells us as follows. Now here, we're going to go and finish off a little bit the discussion I just started before about what does the Harabais look as you enter the Harabais on the ground level on the eastern side and go further westward towards the Kodesh Kodashim, the Holy of Holies, and then if you kept on going, you would eventually go down into what they call the Kotel Plaza. You'd see the Kosel HaMaravi. So in your mind, picture this, that we're in the Kosel HaMaravi Plaza, you're looking eastward, and we're doing the exact opposite approach as if you were standing on the Harazesim, and you're going westward all the way towards the Kosel HaMaravi. But again, we're going through the Har Habayis. The Kosel HaMaravi is the bottom. So here we're talking about what it would be as you're going upwards in an east to west direction, entering into the Har Habayis and going up the mountain of the Har Habayis till you reach the Kodesh Kodoshim. So that's what this Mishnah is going to tell us. And that it's authored by Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Now, the Mishnah says, Kol HaKisolim Shoyu Shom, all of the walls that were in the base of Migdosh, Hayu Givo, and they were very, very tall walls. Rashi points out that we won't find anybody else that fits in with this Shita other than Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and that's how we'll prove that this is the Shita of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. And he says, L'chol binyonei harabayis, all the walls of the harabayis, Hayu Givo and Harbimo, they were very tall walls, and the gateways entering into them, because it was such tall walls, were 20 amma. So you had a gateway that had a height of 20 amma. Rashi says this is in addition to the 20 amma of the gateway, the walls were very, very high. He doesn't give us the height of each wall, but the walls were very, very tall above this 20 amma gateway. One exception to this rule, Chutz Mikosel Mizrachi, with the exception of the Kosel HaMizrachi. Now, this was the easternmost gate. As you're coming from Har HaZesim, entering towards the Har HaBayis area, you're going to go through the Kosel Mizrachi and enter in. Hu HaTachton, Rashi says, L'Ragli Har HaBayis, this is the bottom gate for the people that enter into the Har HaBayis, Shebo Nechnosim L'Chel. You enter through this area, you first actually pass through a wall called the Soreg, which we'll discuss in a moment, and you enter into the Chel area, Shelifnei Ezras Noshim, and the Chel area was the area right prior to the Ezras Noshim. Again, you're going to be going up steps to get to this area, which the Gemara will define. Then Rashi tells us from the Chel, you're going to enter, go up steps into the Ezras Noshim, and then from the Ezras Noshim, you're going to go up more steps, and again to the Azora HaGadola. That's what we call the Azora. Now, this gate back to the Mishnah, Chutz Mikosel Mizrachi. Why? Why was this gate smaller than all the other gates? Because Shakoen Asorif Sapara, the Kohen who was burning the Paraduma, did it on Har HaZeisim. And he had to be Omeid Bahar HaMishcha, Har HaZeisim known as Har HaMishcha. And this area, Umechadein, or others of the Girsa, Umischadein, the Roah Kineget Pisco Shalhechol. And he had to, as he was doing the Avoda of the Paraduma, he had to be able to look into the Hechol. In other words, the gates all had to be aligned in such a way that he could look from Har HaZeisim through all of these gates, either above them or below them, through these gates into the Hechol. Bishas HaZoas Adam, when he was doing the Avoda of the Paraduma, again, the Paraduma was not a carbon, it's called the Chatos, but it wasn't a sacrifice. The Avoda for it was done on Har HaZeisim or Har HaMishcha, both the same thing. And he had to be able to see, he did the Zrikos of the Paraduma towards the Hechol, and he had to be able to see the Hechol. So the Kohen doing the Sorif HaSapara is standing on Har HaZeisim, Har HaMishcha, and he has to be able to see into the Hechol. And that's what this mission is now going to tell us, that this must be the opinion of Rav Lezer ben Yaakov that we're about to discuss. Because Tanan, because now we learned in another Mishnah, it says as follows, all of these Mishnahs are in Midos. Kol ha-pesachim shayusham, all of the entranceways, all of the gateways that go into the various areas that we're about to discuss, Govon Esramama, they all had a height, as we just pointed out from Rashi before. This is the Mishnah of Midos that taught Rashi this. Govon Esramama, they all have a height of 20 amma of a rochban, and they have a width of 10 amma. These gates were very, very large gates. And another Mishnah, Utnan, it says, furthermore, as you enter in through the gate that was on the eastern side of the Harabayis, Lifnim Mimena, you went into an area there that ultimately had the Sorig. We learned the Sorig in Shkolim. The Sorig was a lattice-like structure. Rashi has the foreign language word lattice, and it was a wooden lattice-like structure. Shekorin, Rashi says, four lines into the wide lines of the Rashi. It was made of eights, Bedafe, eights, Aruchim, Uksarim, made different sized pieces of wood, and Shekorim, lattice. Umar Kivin Osan Zuagavzu, they would attach them in a certain way, Ba'alachson and the diagonal, and they had this lattice like structure called the Sorig, which is a wall. Doesn't tell us how far it was inside from the actual gate that was known as the Shar HaMizrach, but whatever that distance was, it's not important. It was a flat terrain, so you didn't go up any elevation. And when you reached the Sorig, that was the point where the Goyim were no longer allowed to enter into the Beis HaMikdash area. That's why, remember, we had in Shkolim, the Yevonim, they breached these gates, and ultimately they were sealed up. And these were the 13 Ishtachavayos, according to one opinion, that they made when they reached the area of the Soreg, where the breaches into the Azara, eventually into the courtyard of the Ezra Snoshim occurred. In any event, that was the Soreg. Now, the Soreg is not elevated, so we're not interested. Here we're interested, eventually, in pointing out that this is the Shita Relez Ben Yaakov, based upon the elevation, and if you're going to have the Hechal above a certain elevation, so the gate from the Shar HaMizrach had to be either a certain lower height, either you could see below the gate or above the wall, so the wall had to be a lower height. And that's what we're going to prove over here, that according to Rav Lezer and Yaakov, the gate was lower. That's what we just said. This Stam Mishnah said that this gate was lower, the eastern wall, gate and wall were lower, because the Kohen who's doing the Sarif Zapara had to be able to see over this gate and through the other gates to see the Hechal. That's what we're ultimately going to prove over here. So all of these Stam Mishnayos can only be in accord with the opinion of Lezer ben Yaakov, and that will be the proof that he's the author of the Mishnayos in Midos. So we go further. We're inside the Sorig now. Lifnim Mimenu Sorig. You reach the Sorig, and then you go inside. The next Mishnah says, Utnan, the Lifnim Mimenu, inside the Sorig is the area known as the Hechal. And this, we do know the dimensions, was Eser Amos. So it is going in the east to west direction, it is 10 Amos. But this is not a flat area. There are going to be steps over here. Ushtein Esrei Malos Hayusham. There were 12 steps here going upwards. Now, most of the steps in the Beis HaMikdash, Rashi points out, had these dimensions, which is Rom Mala. The height of each step was a half of an amma. Again, an amma is classically six tvachim, so half of an amma would be three tvachim. Tefach is roughly 3.5 to 4 inches, so we're roughly talking about that this is a foot. So it's a half of an amma, it's roughly a foot, that's the height of each step, ushilcha, and that's the flat part of each step, that's chatzi amma also, it was also a half of an amma, roughly a foot. So the steps are a foot up and then a foot flat, a foot up and then a foot flat. So if you have 12 of these steps, it doesn't take a genius in math to figure out that if you have 12 such steps, and each step is a half an amma in height, and each of them is a half an amma in its flat part, so it's going to be a total elevation of 6 amma up as you go, 6 amma in a distance from east to west. So you now have an elevation of 6 amma going higher in the Har HaBayis, and you've gone 6 of the 10 ammas of the Chel over here in the east to west traversing in the length, as we call it, east to west. We said it was the length, so you're going 6 amas because of the elevation, and then there's another 4 amas that are flat over here. So b'sach hakol, you've gone the 10 amos of the chel, and you've gone up an elevation of 6 amos based upon the dimensions of the steps that you've gone up. Now the next Mishnah continues, chamesh esrei malos, olos mitocha. You now went through the Ezras Noshim, you entered in after you went up these 6 amma worth of elevation of steps, the 12 steps, you went from the Chel into the Ezras Noshim. There was a gate there, and this gate was the normal size dimensions of 20 amma tall. You entered through this gate, and now you went into the Ezras Noshim, which we described early in the year was a 135 amma by 135 amma area with 4 corners having 4 lishkos in the 4 corners, which we described, which are not important for right now. So you traverse this area, and you go the 135 amas from the east to the west. So again, you keep on going in this, what we call the length of the Har HaBayis, and you're going east to west. You travel flat 135 amma, no additional elevation. And then you reach the Shir HaMalos, the 15 steps that will lead you through the entranceway called the Shar Niknar that will enter you from the Ezras Noshim into the Ezras Anoshim, what we call the Azorah, albeit the entire area was not called the Ezras Anoshim, but the entranceway area, the first 11 amos, was called the Ezras Anoshim, or the beginning part of the Azorah. Now, these 15 steps, Chamesh Esrei Malos, Olos Mitocha, to go up the steps from the Ezras Noshim into Shar Niknar and enter into the Azorah, so you're going Hayardos Mi Ezras Yisrael, Ezras Noshim. It describes it here backwards. It's saying if you went from the Ezras Yisrael down into the Ezras Noshim, you would go down these steps. In any event, these are the Shir HaMalos, the 15 steps. The Levim would sing on these steps. They were arranged in a semicircular way, entering into from the Ezras Noshim into the Azorah, as we just said through Shar Niknar. And each of these steps was, again, the regular dimensions of steps was Rum Mala, Chatzi Amma, Vishulcha, Chatzi Amma. The height of each step was a half of an Amma up, and the flat part was a half of an Amma. So as you're going from east to west, you're going to go through these Shir HaMalos, and we're interested in the vertical component here. You have 15 steps, again, by higher math. If each step is a half an Amma, so the total elevation is going to be 7.5. Right? Half an amma times 15 is going to be 7.5 ammas. So now we are in an additional 7.5 ammas higher than the base of the Har HaBayis. We already said you went up 6 amma to go from the Chel into the Ezras Noshim, and now you go up another 7.5 amma to go from the Ezras Noshim into the Azorah. So we're a total height from the bottom, from the flat part of the Har HaBayis, when you enter in on the eastern side, 13.5 ammas in total. This is very important. Keep these numbers in mind. It's not. We learned another Mishnah Midos. Now, we skip over here. The Gemara will come back to it. We just entered through Shar Niknar. We're 13.5 amma higher than the floor of the Har HaBayis. We now go through the 11 amma. As you're going east to west, there's 11 amma of the Ezras Anoshim, which was the Yisraelim would go. Then there was the next 11 amma is called the Ezras Kohanim. That's where the Kohanim were allowed to go. Yisraelim weren't allowed to go over there. Now, we'll see that there is another opinion that says that there was an elevation of a certain amount, 1 amma or possibly 2.5 amma, we'll get to this soon, between the Ezras Anoshim and the Ezras Kohanim. Leaving this aside for now, the author of this Mishnah does not state that there is any elevation. So therefore, as you're going, you got up through the Shar Niknar, you're in the Ezras Anoshim, you go through the Ezras Anoshim, 11 Amos, east to west, then you go through the 11 Amos of the Ezras Kohanim, and you'll hit the Mizbeach. Once you're at the Mizbeach, we'll have to talk about the dimensions of the Mizbeach, but the Mizbeach is flat, albeit it's on flat ground, but the Mizbeach itself has an elevation, which we'll talk about later on. Now, Beino Ulam Bila Mizbeach, after you get going east to west, you go through the Mizbeach area, so then you come to the area, it's known as Beino Ulam Bila Mizbeach, the area between the Mizbeach going towards the Ulam, which is the entranceway into the actual Heichal, the actual building of the Beis HaMikdash. And this area, Beino Ulam Bila Mizbeach, is Esrim Shtayim Amah, it's 22 Amah. Now here we're again have an elevation. And that's why this area is being taught to us. So the Mishnah tells us, Ushtem Esrei Malus Hayusham. Here there are 12 steps in this 22 Amma area. There's Shtem Esrei Malus Hayusham, 12 steps. Again, no surprise. Rum Mala Chatzi Amma, Peshul Chatzi Amma. The normal steps that I mentioned was they were a half an Amma in the vertical component and then a half an Amma in the horizontal component as you're going east to west. So again, if you have 12 steps and you have a half amma in the vertical height, so it doesn't take higher math. 12 times a half an amma is going to be 6 amma. So we now have another 6 amma in our elevation, which we add to the 13 and a half ammas that we remembered. We went up 6 from the Chel to the Ezras Noshim, 7 and a half from the Ezras Noshim into the Azorah, and now going from the area of the Mizbeach to the Ulam, there's another 6 amma. Besach HaKol, we have 19 and a half ammas were elevated. Now, this Mishnah cannot be, the way we've learned it now, cannot be in accord with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Because as we'll see, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov adds additional elevation. So this is going to be according with the Shita of the Chachamim. We're 19 and a half amma up. If you're standing on the Harazesim, you're therefore going to need the eastern wall, the Shar HaMizrach, to be able to be 20 amma, no problem. You're at an elevation to see the bottom of the Heichal, the entrance way into the bottom of the Heichal is only 19 and a half amas above the ground. So a person standing on Harazesim will be able to look through the 20 amma gate of the Shar HaMizrach and look through it, because you're looking through the gate itself. And therefore, the wall on top of it could be as tall as you'd like it to, because you're not looking over the gate, you're looking through the gate, because the gate is 20 amma, and you only have to go up an elevation of 19 and a half amma, so you'll be able to see through the top of this gate the area of the Heichal. So this is fine, that you can have no problem in having a very, very tall wall above the Shar HaMizrach, because you only need the Shar HaMizrach to be 20 amma, and it is 20 amma, you only need 19 and a half amma to be able to look through. For those that are having trouble visualizing this, the art school has wonderful diagrams on this on page 16A3. You can look at, this is diagram B. I don't know why they put diagram B as the second diagram. This is really the first diagram. In any event, Kasha on the art scroll. So this diagram shows you clearly that a person would be able to look through the Shar HaMizrach gate, which is 20 amma, and see the bottom of the Heichal, because it's only 19 and a half amma above the ground, and therefore, no problem. You could have the wall as tall as you want, because you're not being obstructed. You're looking through the gate and not over the gate. However, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov disagrees. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says that Tanan, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, this is another Mishnah over there in Midos, he befavorish says, Mala Hoysosham. No, he says that there was a Mala, a step up from the Ezras Anoshim into the Ezras Kohanim. When you go through the 11 Amma first area, after you went through Shar Niknar, so now you have to step up the Gavoa Amma. There was a 1 Amma elevation to get to the Ezras Kohanim. The Duchen Nasun Olel, and there was a certain platform that was on it. Rashi explains that the Levim would go up on this platform, and they would sing there. Ubo shalosh malos shochatzi chatzi amma. Now Rashi understands this, that there were 3 little steps to get up over here. Each of them was a half of an amma, and Rashi says that then you would come down from that platform through 3 steps on the other side, more westward. So you went up 3 steps, and then you went down 3 steps, so those steps aren't included in the additional elevation, if you wish, of the Ezras Kohanim, because they weren't a total of just going up. They went up and then went down. So therefore, the only elevation, according to the way Rashi understands this, is 1 Amma. So we go from 19 and a half Amma elevation, we already included the 6 Ammas that are beyond this, so we haven't yet really reached there as you're going east to west, but in any event, we know that those 6 Ammas will be there, so we're at 19 and a half Ammas of elevation. He adds on 1 amma of elevation, this platform going from the Ezras Anoshim up to 1 amma to the Ezras Kohanim, because the steps went up and then they went down. They're not included. The total elevation of them is 0, because you go up and down, it's 0. On the other hand, Tosos Yishanim over here, the Rabbeinu Chananel and others say no, that these 3 half amma steps didn't go down on the other side. There were elevations going up to this one amma platform. So there's an elevation here of the three steps at half an amma. That's three times the half an amma is 1.5 amma plus the one amma. So they have 2.5 ammas additional elevation. So they add on to the 19.5, 2.5, so they get to an elevation of 22 amma. It doesn't make practically any difference whether you say it's 20.5 amma elevation or 22 amma elevation, because the bottom line is, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who says this, you won't be able to look through the gate of the Shaar HaMizrach and see the Heichal, because if the gate is 20 amma, the Heichal only starts at either 20.5 amma or 22 amma, and therefore you're not going to be able to look through that gate. You're going to have to look over the gate. But if you're going to look over the gate, so that wall can't be very tall, because if it's too tall, you're going to hit the wall that is above the gate of the Chel entering into the Ezras Noshim. And that's going to be an elevation of 26 amma above the ground. The gate is 20 amma, and the wall above it is going to be very, very tall. So therefore, since you're elevated 6 amma, you went up from the Chel 6 amma to get to the Ezras Noshim. So if you add the 20 amma of the gate, so the wall starts at 26 amma. So you have a very short window over here that you can look through above the Shaar HaMizrach, and yet below the Shaar that is above the gate entering into the Ezras Noshim. So therefore, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, the wall of the Shaar HaMizrach had to be very short, so you could have the gate that is 20 amma, a short wall that would be less than 5 amma, or less than 6 amma actually, but you'd have 5 amma, let's say, and then you could look above that, and you would be able to see into the Heichal, which is either 20.5 or 22.5 amma above the ground. That is the opinion of Elazar and Yaakov, and therefore we have proven that he is the Stam author of the Mishnayis, because only this specific Mishnah over here, which says different than Rebbe Elazar Yaakov, along comes Rebbe Elazar Yaakov and says, no, that's not correct. So he is therefore the author of the Mishnah that said that the gate on the eastern side had to be, the wall above it had to be very short. He must be the author of that, because if it's the Chachamim, they don't need it to be shorter. There could be a very tall wall. That's what the Gemara now says. E amris bishlomo Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. Everything works out well if you say that this is the opinion of Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, because he fits in. Hainu di ikase le pischa. That's why if you didn't shorten the wall of above the Shaar HaMizrach, you'd be blocked in seeing the Heichal, as I just pointed out. However, Eliyamas Rabbanan, but if you go according to the opinion of the Rabbanan that don't have the additional elevation between the Ezras Anoshim and the Ezras Kohanim, so then you can look through the Shaar HaMizrach. It's only 19.5 amma elevation, and the Shaar is 20. So you look through the top half amma, and therefore the wall could be as tall as you'd like it to be. You could look through the top half amma of that Shaar, because it's 19.5 amma above the ground, the floor of the Heichal, and you therefore have a half an amma to look through and see it. So the Kohen who's taking care of the Sarkis of Paraduma will be able to see it. So therefore, why would you limit the size of the wall above it? Therefore, Elalav Shmamina, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, it must be that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is the author of the Mishnah that said in Midos that the wall above the Shaar HaMizrach is lower. Perfectly good proof. Where it says, not so fast. Rav Adda bar Ava Omar, he says, no. Haman, he says, maybe you could argue that it's not Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. You know whose opinion it could be? It could be the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Why is that? The Tanya, because we have another Braisa. And this Braisa tells us, this Braisa is found in Svachim, it tells us, the Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, HaMizbeach Memutza, V'Omei B'Emza Azora, the Mizbeach, which we passed through before without discussing it. We just said that there's an area of the Mizbeach which is on a flat terrain. So depending on where the Mizbeach is located, there are three opinions as to where the Mizbeach is located. If it's not located due middle of the Azara and blocking the view of somebody looking into the Heichal, so then it's not a problem. So it must be that the author of the Mishnah in Midos says that the Mizbeach doesn't block the Heichal. Now, who is that author? That is Rabbi Yehuda. Because Yehuda says the Mizbeach was memutza v'ome be'emza azora. He says that the Mizbeach was plopped right in the middle of the azora. Ushloshim ushtayim amus hayulo. It was dimensions of 32 amas by 32 amma, as we said many times. We turn to the omid beis, tezayin omid beis. And you can see diagrams of this in the Art Scroll Gemara as well, next to footnote number one, if you're having difficulty understanding this. And he says that the 32 Amos, so Eser Amos Kineged Pisul Shalhecho, the middle of the Mizbeach, according to this opinion, the three opinions, the Mizbeach was either more north, the Mizbeach was totally south, or the Mizbeach was plop in the middle. This is the sheet that it says it's plop in the middle. So the entranceway into the Ulam was 10 Amos. The actual entranceway was 10 Amos. The Ulam itself was a 100 dimension in its going north to south, and of that, 10 Amos was the actual entranceway. 5 Amos, it's plopped right in the middle of the Azara, so 5 Amos of that entranceway is, quote, north, and 5 Amos of that entranceway is, quote, south, because the middle of the Heichal is plopped right in the middle of the Azara. So you now have the Mizbeach also plopped right in the middle. So the middle part of the Mizbeach, that 10 Amma, will be taken up by the entranceway into the Ulam. So therefore you're going to have 10 of the 32 Ammas taken up by the entranceway. So that's 22 Ammas left, 11 to the north. The Mizbeach is going to stretch out beyond the entranceway, 11 Ammas north, and beyond the entranceway, 11 Ammas south. And that's the 32 Amma of the Mizbeach. And that's what it says. Eser Amos Kineged Pisul Shalhechol, and Achasis Riyama Letzofom, Yachasis Riyama Ledorum. Because that's the 32 Amma dimension of the Mizbeach, how it's placed. Nimtza, according to this Shita, Mizbeach Mechuvon Kineged Heichol V'Koslov. The Mizbeach is exactly blocking in front of the entire Heichol and the walls of the Heichol. Fine. Very good. Now, according to this, Rabbi Yehuda, the Mizbeach would block the Heichol if the Mizbeach is 9 Amma tall, because the top part, the Keren, is the 10th Amma, is only in the corners, and that's not going to block and obstruct the view. Now, if a person was standing on Har HaMishkan, the Kohen who served as a Parah, had to look in over this gates, he now has an additional elevation of 9 Amma. So Reb Yehuda would say that if you're adding on 9 Amma over here, you're going to be above the 20 Amma ground that you would need to be able to look through the Shar of the Shar Mizrach. You can't look through that upper half Amma, like we've been saying, that the Chachamim of the Mishnah say. He has the extra 9 Amma over here, and therefore, he is going to have to say also that the wall must be shortened, so you can look over the wall and not through the Shar Mizrach. So why don't we say that Rabbi Yehuda is the author of Midos, and not Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? So Gemara says, no. Because if you were to say that this is true, so we got a problem. Do we find that the author of the Mishnayos and Midos holds like Rabbi Yehuda? No, he doesn't. Because we learned in the Mishnayos and Midos, another Mishnah Midos, Kol Hazara Haisa Orech Meya Ushmonim Vesheva Al Rochav Meya. So again, the dimensions from the north to south are the exact same in the Azara as they were in the Ezras Noshim. So that's 135 when you go in the north to south, what we call the width. And the length of the entire area that we call the Azara, starting from the Ezras Anoshim, as you enter through Shar Niknor, all the way through the Azara, through the Ezras Kohanim, through the Mizbeach, through the Bein Ulam LeMizbeach, through the Ulam, through the Heichal, the Kodesh, and the Kodesh Kodashim, and then the area behind the Kodesh Kodashim, until you get to the westernmost wall, that length that we call it, going from east to west, is 187 Amma. Now this Mishnah discusses how you get those dimensions, what was in those dimensions. So Mina Mizrach Lamarev, Neo Shmonu Sheva, going from east to west, entering through Shar Niknor, till you get to behind the Kodesh Kodashim, so that's 187 Amma. It goes as follows. What's in that area? Malkum Drisus Ragla Yisrael Achas Esrei Amma. And Malkum Drisus Ragla Kohanim Achas Esrei Amma. We said the first 11 Amma is the Ezras Anoshim. The next 11 Amma is the Ezras Kohanim. We're not interested in elevations at this point in time. Then you hit the Mizbeach. Mizbeach is Shloshim Ushtaim. That's 32 Amma. The Yisod is a block, 32 Amma by 32 Amma. And again, we said parts of the Yisod are missing, but the dimension is over there. Whether it's actual a block there or not is irrelevant. So that's 32 Amma. So we have 22 plus 32. That's going to be equal to 54. Higher math. Bein Ulam LeMizbeach Esim Ushtaim. So we go from 54, we add on another 22, so that becomes 76. So we're at we're at 76. The Heichal itself was Meya Amma, entering through the Ulam and the Heichal. The entire structure was 100 Amma, so we're at 176. And then, V'yachas Sri Amma, Achari Beis HaKaparis. And then you had 11 Amma beyond that, till you hit the westernmost wall. Again, this is not the Kosel HaMarabi. The Kosel HaMarabi is down. This is the wall of the Azara. The Kosel HaMarabi is the wall from the Har HaBayis, so it's down much more. But that's the area where you would now hit higher up on the mountain. So that's 11 more. So you go from 176, 11 more is 187. That is the length going from east to west of the Azara. Now, Minadar Mutzafon, in the north-south orientation, we said it's 135. Meya Ushloshim V'chamesh. As we said, it's the exact same dimensions as the Ezras Noshim. Now, what was here to make this? Here's where we have the three-way machlokis as to where the Mizbeach was located. So, this opinion over here says, HaKevesh V'hamizbeach Shishim Ushtayim. The ramp leading up to the Mizbeach was 32 Amma. And the Mizbeach itself was 32 Amma. So that should be 64. How come it says 62? Because the ramp overhung the bottom Amma of the Yesod, and it overhung the Sovev. So those two Ammas are eaten up by the ramp. They're doubled, so to say. They're including both the Mizbeach and the ramp. That's why you lose two Amma. And it hits then the top of the Mizbeach, so that's why it's 62 and not 64 Amma. So again, of the 135 in the south to north orientation, we've just used up 62. Then, min ha-Mizbeach v'letabos. Keep on going north as you enter the ramp of the Mizbeach on the southern side of the Mizbeach. You go up to the Mizbeach, and then when you be, if there is no drop down. We just imagine that you go down and you're walking. So beyond the 62 amos of the ramp in the Mizbeach, the next area that you're going to hit to is going to be the Tabos, where they used to, each Mishmar had its own Tabas. There were 24 Mishmaros, so the 24 Tabos, they were arranged in rows of six. So you're going to go through four rows of these six, and min ha-Mizbeach le-Tabos, there's Shmona Amos, so that's eight. We add on to our 62, we're up to 70. Then the Makom ha-Tabas is Esim Amma, so the Tabos themselves, they took up 20 Amma, so we will go from 70 to 90. We're up to 90 now. Min ha-Tabos la-Shulchanos Arba, so we have 94 now, because the Tabos to yit the Shulchanos is another four Amma, so we're up to 94. And now, we don't say how much the Shulchanos take. We'll get back to that. From the Shulchanos, Lenanosim, these were certain types of pillars that they had over there for various utilizations. So that was another four. So we're up to 98. We haven't included the Shulchanos yet. And then, Min Hananasim Lekosel Azara, Shmona Amos. So we're up to 98, and we have another eight Amos over here, so we're at 106. Vamosar, and the excess over here for the 135 minus 106, that is on the southern side, Ben HaKevesh V'LaKosel, that is the Kevesh until the Kosel on the southern side, and as well, the Makom of the Nanasim, which we didn't describe how much that is as well, and we didn't describe how much the Shulchanos were. So that additional space that's missing for the 135 is taken up by all of these areas. Now, V'Yisal K'daitach Midos Rabbi Yehuda. If you want to tell me that this Stam Mishnah is going in accord with Rabbi Yehuda and saying that he's the author of the Mishnayos and Midos, because he could also say that the wall above the Shar Mizrach has to be shorter, that doesn't fit in over here. Because Mizbeach B'Emza Azara, according to this, the Mizbeach has to be in the middle of the Azara, Mimishkachesle. That won't fit according to this dimensions of the Stam Mishnah and Midos. Why is that? Haruba the Mizbeach b'Dorum Kai, because as we just pointed out, the majority of this Mizbeach, the way we just described it, would have to be on the southern side. And therefore, this can't be the opinion that says the Mizbeach was plop in the middle. So if the Stam Shita of the Mizbeach is that it's more on the southern side, so then it can't be the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. If it's not the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, then he can't be the author of the Stam Mishnayos in Midos. And we're back to our original answer that the Stam Mishnayos in Midos are actually the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. And that's what the Gemara concludes. We go to Yudzayin Amud Aleph, Elalav Shmamina, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov he, not Rabbi Yehuda, Shmamina. This is a good proof. Again, there's a lot of discussion over here as to how to explain all of these different shitos, where exactly they were. To put it nice and simple, you have three shitas of the Mizbeach, you have one shita that the Mizbeach is totally on the southern side, so that is no problem to go in accord with Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. You have the shita that the Mizbeach is partially in north and partially in the south. That also goes with Eliezer ben Yaakov. That is this Stam Mishnah that we had here in Midos. And then you have the opinion that the Mizbeach was plop in the middle. And that shita cannot go along with the Mishnayos and Midos. That is the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. This way, we've explained that the authorship of the Mishnayos and Midos is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and that is the conclusion of the aside that we had. The Rav Huna said that this discrepancy between Midos and Tomid from yesterday's daf is explained because the authorship of the Tana of Tomid is different than the Stam Mishnayos and Midos, which are Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. With this, we conclude today's shir.